Got another dignitary on the phone lines here tonight. This is one of our most dignitary, happy programs in quite a while here. Our good buddy, Lloyd Carroll from the Queens Chronicle and Good Times Magazine. We're transitioning right here, so we don't have our introductory tunes ready to go here. That'll be back in the next week or so as we're adapting to the new facility. So we don't have any dancing queen for you here tonight, Lloyd, but it's good to have you on anyways. How are you, my man?
Well, good. Yeah, hopefully, Rick, when you get yourself settled, we could have a different kind of theme song there. I know that Cervello's wicked sense of humor, dancing queen, being from Queens, here, Queens, New York. So there you have it. Never quite one of my favorite songs. I actually preferred SOS by ABBA, if the truth really be known.
I actually love ABBA. I always copped it at. Actually, that was my sense of humor, not his. I could throw him under the bus, but... that was me. By the way, and Steve Cervello of the New York Bureau are doing a great job on booking tonight. All of the guests here tonight, yourself included, set up by him. Aside from, I want to give a shout out to my good buddy, Scott Pullins, a member of the 21st Century Media Alliance, PullinsReport.com, for brokering the Arch Sleester interview on the program here tonight. Good to have you on. Understand we will be joined in a second here by our friend Simon Applebaum from Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Before we go to him, I just want to throw this to you real quick. You
sure.
Talked about this off air, Lloyd. You thought that we should get to this at least briefly here tonight. You cover the New York Mets on a regular basis.
Absolutely.
Thoughts on the purge, managerial and general managerial, that came down in Flushing this past week?
Well, again, you can argue, certainly Jerry Manuel had to go. I think Omar Minaya, unfortunately, people tend to remember the bad, the Oliver Perez contract. And I do think that Luis Castillo, even though he was overly generous, I think Castillo actually is a better player and has never gotten the credit he really deserves here. I mean, he's not Martin Prado. He's not Chase Utley. But I think he's a lot smarter player, and I think he's unfortunately become a whipping boy here in New York. But when people were clamoring for Johan Santana, Francisco Rodriguez, Carlos Beltran, Johan Santana, Pedro Martinez back in the the point is Omar delivered those guys. I mean, there were times when Mets general managers, their job was to watch the Yankees sign all the free agents, and the Mets fans have to settle for the likes of Tom Houseman and Mike Cubb, which is actually a great guy, but still not that caliber of player.
Well, very good point. You know, and I guess it's a case of be careful what you wish for. You know, as far as going out and getting the big name guys, because they don't always pan out.
Well, yeah, and just the final thought on this is that when Jeff Wilpon announced, the Mets chief operating officer announced that he was firing both Minaya and Manuel, in my column that'll be out tomorrow, I said, unfortunately for Mets fans, Jeff Wilpon did not dismiss or demote himself. And that's a problem, not because it's a good flip line, but as you and I were talking previously, the Mets need a guy like Stan Kasten or John Hart, a guy who can... You know, who's respected, but he's not going to report to a Jeff Wilpon. He'll report to Fred Wilpon, but not to Jeff Wilpon.
Last question for you before we bring on
sure.
Simon here. When you talk about the Wilpons, what are you hearing, if anything, about this talk that they're going to try to start up a national wrestling promotion here, possibly to try to topple Total Nonstop Action as the number two entity in the business right here? Anything at all that you're hearing about that at the moment?
Well, you know, that it's funny. I have to be honest. I have not heard that. I know that they were trying to dabble about bringing in a soccer team to kind of compete with the Red Bulls, kind of play the Islanders to their Rangers, although maybe that's a weak comparison since nobody really cares about soccer. But that was the only thing I did not hear about wrestling. But if I see old Jeffy Wilpon, perhaps I'll ask him, and he can give me his usual dismissive answer. I'd be disappointed if he didn't give that to me.
Yeah, well, maybe they should focus on their core incompetency before they go to look at any other business.
Well, that's true, and I have a feeling the first villain may be modeled after Bernie Madoff.
It very well could be. Yeah, that would be an inside shot if ever there were any. So, all right, Lloyd, well, for as much as you cover, I mean, my God, a man who covers entertainment and sports and accounting and everything like that, we love having you on. We love having you paired, as you were the last time here on the program here, somebody who really specializes in the intersection of TV and technology. You can read his blog column. We've got it linked here tonight off of the site here, his regular one at jackmyers.com, and, of course, his weekly podcast, our good friend Simon Applebaum. Simon, good to have you on as well here tonight. How are you, my man?
Very, very well. Thank you, Rick and Lloyd. Great to be back with you. And by the way, Rick, I heard that Rick Rolfe from the Sports Edge on WFAN here in New York was on the program the last half hour. I listen to him every Sunday morning. He does a marvelous job covering a subject that really every sports talk radio station and television network, regional network, should do. I think what Rick does is fantastic. I'd love to see him syndicate Sports Edge or to have other regional sports networks and radio stations do what he does.
Well, you know, and it's one of these things here. You know, when I say that I was looking forward to talking to you guys here tonight, I mean, that really says something more than most nights. You know, Rick Wolf was on, and he was great. Ditto with Art Schleister and Sean Casey and the roundtable on baseball stuff. So to say I was looking forward to you guys, you know, is quite a mouthful with everybody that we've had on and are going to have on here tonight. Just, you know, always great to get your perspective on stuff. It seems kind of fitting. We talked to you guys at about the time of the TV upfronts here, just after that in late May. Now the season has started. Want to get your thoughts on some of the shows here. Lloyd and I talked about this off here. I'll throw it to you then first, Simon. The first one I want to mention here, I haven't gotten to see too many of the new shows, granted, so I'll be kind of relying on you guys for your takes, but have watched this one. I'm a sucker for sitcoms and sometimes kind of dumb ones, and this one, I don't know, I don't find this one that dumb. It's a controversial premise to be sure, but Outsourced. I'll admit it, I enjoy it. That probably puts me in the minority here among people who are willing to cop to that. Have you seen it, Simon, either of the episodes, and your thoughts on it overall? Oh, okay. I think Simon just dropped there.
Yeah, Rick, I think we may have it's Lloyd. I think we may have a problem doing two lines tonight. I'm just getting the feeling because I got lost before. Just, I don't know if that's a technical glitch tonight.
Well, you know what? Maybe we'll do these one at a time. Maybe I'll just pose them to you, and then we may have to go to Simon separately if we can't keep them. So, all right. Well, you take the question then, Lloyd.
I'll take it, and I'll do the best I can. Although I think Simon's more up in this fall season than I am. I was kind of hoping to piggyback on him, but go ahead, Rick.
All right. Outsourced. Thoughts on that?
Well, you and I talked about this. I saw the first episode. I did not get all worked up because of the very nature of the show. That is, you know, we've all heard about Americans obviously losing jobs overseas. I didn't think that was exactly the best fodder. I mean, Ben Rappaport, nice Jewish boy. I wish him well, but I just didn't find the show all that funny. Just a bunch of wacky type stereotypes a la The Office. Didn't really do much for me.
It's really kind of weird, and I think we got Simon back on. I don't know if this thought had occurred to either of you guys, but in watching it, it seemed like maybe one of the sources of humor for the show seemed to be shoehorning Indian guys into some American stereotypes, or maybe not even just the guys. I mean, you got the one neurotic kind of a girl on the show here, you know, the one hottie who I think is supposed to represent, you know, like the
absolutely
American preppy. It almost seems to me, Simon, like they're shoehorning American stereotypes onto the Indians, whether it's a ham-handed thing of saying, see, we're all alike regardless of nationality or whatever the case may be. I enjoy the show, but I have kind of noticed that.
Well, Rick, I think if they're doing that, they're not going to do it for long because Outsource is one of four or five new shows on NBC that are probably going to get canceled in the next week or two because of low ratings.
Okay.
And we can talk about NBC because right now it looks like they are a big basket case with their new shows. The problem with Outsource, I think, is very simple. It may be the wrong show at the wrong time. If this show had been on maybe 3 or 4 years earlier when the economy was in great shape, it might have passed by. The problem is that when you have a situation comedy that deals with jobs being lost to other countries, jobs that might be American jobs, it may rub audiences the wrong way, and I think this may have been what happened here. This is not a fault, I think, of the people who did the show. It's more of, this is the way the times are, and with unemployment the way it is, and a lot of concern about jobs going overseas and not coming back to the United States at a time when millions of people are unemployed, this may have been the wrong show for NBC to put on.
Yeah, it does seem kind of weird in terms of timing. And yet, again, we've been immersed in this horrible downturn for the last 2 years. It's not like they didn't see this coming. They chose to do this in this climate and obviously gambled on it going better than it has so far. Well, I'll just kind of keep it general because, again, not having seen too many of the shows here, we'll start with you here, Simon. You know, thumbs up and thumbs down on some of the early ones you're seeing so far.
Well, it's still very early. We're 2.5 weeks in, and unfortunately, two of the thumbs-up shows are gone. They were the first two that got canceled. One is Lone Star on Fox, critically acclaimed. I think, Lloyd, you may have thought that the star of that show was going to be one of the breakout stars.
Absolutely. Yeah, I thought he was People magazine cover material from the get-go.
Mm-hmm. As it turned out, the show got 4.5 million viewers the first time out, then got dramatic drop in audience the second time out, and Fox just canceled it. I think what's really ironic about that show is if it was on FX, it would probably be a winner. 4.5 million homes for a cable network is big time. And if Lone Star maybe had been a cable show off the bat on FX or someplace else, it might have worked. The other thumbs up was My Generation, a show that a lot of people did not know about coming in. It got wonderful reviews from the New York Times, the New York Daily News, the LA Times, around the country. Noah Hawley, the creator and executive producer of the show, is on my program. Tomorrow will be televised the week before. I had a feeling it might be given a try by ABC, but unfortunately, for the first two episodes, the audience tuned out. And I think part of it may be ABC's fault. I thought the way they marketed it here in New York, you did not know what the show was about. The ads that were running, and there were not many ads compared to their other major 8 o'clock news show, No Ordinary Family with Michael Chilkis, which may also be on the bubble after 2 weeks, really did not tell you what the show was about. So I think part of the issue was unfortunately tough marketing by ABC.
Well, what does it tell you about the lack of patience, Simon, that these networks have here? When you look at something like Lone Star with Fox, they've got their hiatus coming up soon anyways. They're going to be televising the League Championship Series, into the World Series. That's an opportunity to really billboard something here. They hammer us regardless. You know, it's going to be some shows that they hammer us with during that period of time. To think that Lone Star isn't even worth the one last gasp, you know, after they put the hopes on it coming in, it's remarkable, you know, how quickly they can make these Steinbrenner-esque decisions.
They're coming faster and furious, Rick, and the reason why is it is getting more and more of a competitive environment. You have cable networks really pouring on with original shows from Boardwalk Empire and HBO, Monday Night Football and ESPN. Now, SmackDown is a show on Sci-Fi going off My Network TV, and it is really razor-thin in terms of where these networks are standing. And particularly, you had ABC, which had a tough past season. You had NBC, which has been a basket case for the last 3 or 4 years, and coming off the Jay Leno fiasco of last fall. So there's a lot riding on it, and it's going to be a tougher and tougher year because the cable networks are poured on with more and more original programming, some of which did very well this summer. And then you have things that used to be on network television that will be going to cable. Conan O'Brien next month and Late Night in November, followed by the Bowl Championship Series and the major college football bowl games, which were a broadcast traditions for half a century. They're going to ESPN. ESPN is probably going to have some of the biggest ratings in cable history on New Year's Day and that week. Plus, you've got the premiere of the Oprah Winfrey Network. You have more cable networks coming in. You've got a made-over network like Discovery Kids becoming the hub on Sunday, with some interesting push behind it with Hasbro involved. So it's like on and on and on. You're seeing tremendous, tremendous pressure to make good, or else shows go off the air. And right now you have two shows off. There's a show tonight that's on the big bubble, The Whole Truth on ABC, the 10 o'clock drama, which is done terribly. And on top of that, NBC may have 4 or 5 shows, Chase, Outsourced, Outlaw, Undercovers, and maybe Parenthood or The Apprentice that may be off the air in the next 2 weeks.
You know, if I may interrupt, Simon, I saw Chase, and NBC did something very stupid. They put it right up against Hawaii Five-0. Similar kind of audience, action, thrill. I think if they found another spot for Chase, I think they could have done a lot better. I think Kelly Giddish looks like a very attractive actress. That was just my guess on it. I was also curious, how's Detroit 187 doing? I kind of like that with Michael Imperioli.
Tough. That may be another one to go.
Really? Sorry to hear that.
Ratings went down the second week. They had a late start because they had to change the format slightly. Originally, it was supposed to be documentary film crew captures action of a Detroit police force. The producers had to pull a 360 and take out the documentary aspect, reshoot stuff. Michael Imperioli is a wonderful star. He is a wonderful actor. And James MacArthur, who was so terrific in NYPD Blue. So you have a real concern there. And No Ordinary People, as I mentioned, looks like that may be a goner if the ratings do not improve in the next week or two. Good performance by Michael Chilkis.
It looks like Hawaii Five-0 appears to be a winner in terms of the new shows.
It so far looks that way. Although it lost audience from last week and a little bit this week, it was number 15. It was the only top new show to make in the top 20.
Well,
the only new show to make in the top 20, Lloyd.
Do you think that everybody, we've kind of gotten gleeked out here, that somehow the new show isn't like Glee that just gets phenomenal hype and buzz right out of the gate that we just immediately bury it? Do you think that could be part of what's going on here?
Yeah, I think so. Actually, I think I'll make a thumbs up in a second. I just want to say the event also looks like that may be a goner.
But if that's talking about an amorphous type of show, I mean, how many people really knew what the event was? I mean, it's kind of a grandiose title that's a turnoff from the get-go.
Yeah, and absolutely, and it was not helped by Chuck, which continues to stupefy me and a lot of other critics as to why that show is still on NBC's schedule. I think the big thumbs up is time period changes and shows that got Emmy buzz. We mentioned during the upfront week on this program that I thought the big story with CBS was not the new shows, it was the time period changes, and so far every one of them has been on the money. Survivor working on Wednesday night, Big Bang Theory moving to Thursday night, right before the Bleep My Dad show with William Shatner, and I'm not sure that is going to make it, by the way.
CBS moving from the spinoff,
and so on and so forth.
Well, you know what's funny, guys? I mean, here's the thing. You know, and we talked about this at the time of the upfronts. I'll throw it to you first on this, Simon. The whole thing about Shatner, it's kind of funny because, you know, in theory, it came off as such a cutting-edge thing. You're going to do a thing, you know, a TV show about, you know, a Twitter, you know, account, whatever like that. In reality, it's another TV show about a crotchety old guy. You're not seeing the Twitter screen, or, you know, maybe you are, but it's just a device here and there. You know, when you take the idea and you boil it down to that, it's not revolutionary at all. You could have done that in any decade of television.
True, although one of the big trends this year, Rick, has been online video programming becoming television shows, whether cable or broadcast. Most of them are working, some of them are not, some of them haven't. In terms of Bleep My Dad Says, one thing that didn't happen is we did not see the pilot show. It did not premiere on CBS the way we saw it at the upfront, which was not funny. James Burrows, one of the best comedy pilot and best comedy directors in history of television, was brought in to redo that whole pilot. I understand it was much better the second time around, but the jury is still out on whether this show will be a hit. But you have to give kudos to Shatner because he just continues to morph himself as a more versatile actor than anyone first thought.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, so how's The Defenders doing? That was another one that everybody thought would be dead out of the water, but I kind of enjoyed the first episode.
It got mixed reviews, including a good one from USA Today, Lloyd, but that may also be going down. We're going to find out, I think, in the next couple of weeks as Law & Order Los Angeles takes hold. It won the time period last week. Defenders is still a number two show. Ratings went down. That may be the one of CBS's five new shows, that does not make it. Oh, actually, one, two. The other one maybe Bleep My Dad Says. Going back to Y5O for a second, the
sure.
jury is still mixed on this, but I got to tell you, it's the right time period. There are people who still, you know, love it despite, you know, whether they think this new version is as good as the original Icon. They brought the theme music back. They brought a Rozay Badai title semi-back. The cast is very attractive. I think, you know, this is like the third time around for Alex Lachlan, who is a wonderful actor. Grace Park is in it. Dan DeKim from Lost. So, and by the way, a lot of people are picking up on the person playing Dano, who may be for CBS the big breakout star.
Scott Kahn.
Yeah, very, very much so. And of course, he's been getting a lot of attention for his role in the last year or so on Entourage as well, playing a very different type of character. Let me ask you guys about this, though. I wanted to talk a little bit about 5-0, and all I saw thus far was the premiere episode of it. But it's a thing where I was a kid, you know, at the tail end of the original one. That's a show, and I've watched, you know, some of it in syndication over the years and everything like that. The charm to me is that that's a show that was very much of its time, okay? A very definitive type look and feel to it and everything like that. And now, aside from the fact that it's in the islands, you know, and the scenery is what it is, there doesn't seem to a lot to differentiate it from other shows with attractive, you know, people on there and things blowing up and everything like that. I mean, you know, we had talked about it previously, Simon, but again, that's a thing where it's pretty good, but to me it just suffers in comparison to the original one because it seems pretty generic compared to what was a very original product previously.
It is not your mother's 5-0. It's not the Jack Lord version. You have to take it as it is, and it's not, you know, it doesn't play by the bookum of the original. The original was very special. It had wonderful plots. It had wonderful acting, strong cast, the scenery. Like I said, the wonderful theme music by Morton Stevens, the great title work by Rozay Badai. This one is more, you know, it has more of a secret agent kind of, or like spy kind of aspect to it. So it's not like total police work. Some people compare it to Law and Order. Some have compared it to Alias. Some compared to other things. It's an animal that still has to be worked out, I think, in the scripts.
But
it certainly has a fair shot at success because of the fact people may associate it with the original.
It doesn't seem bad, yeah. It just doesn't hold up as much as the original in my mind. Have you gotten to see it at all, Lloyd?
Yeah, like you, Rick, I saw the first episode. I didn't see it after. I mean, it certainly held my attention. I have to give a plug here for Queens' own, the late Jack Lord, who grew up in Richmond Hill, Queens, so those certainly are big shoes to fill. And Alex O'Loughlin is, I agree with Simon, a terrific actor who's just had very little luck, particularly with CBS. So, I mean, he was in a CBS film with Jennifer Lopez, selling the baby trifecta, whatever the title was. He was in a couple of other shows that just bombed after three episodes. So when I saw Loughlin at the upfront, I said, pretty soon they're going to have you working in the mailroom the way things are going. He just gave a good laugh. He had a good sense of humor about it.
In terms of some of the trends with TV and things, you know, every fall, let's turn to something that comes at the beginning of the fall here. There was a column that you wrote on your blog that was really compelling, Simon, when you were talking about that. And you are clearly somebody who's a big fan of everything that's been done over the years with the Jerry Lewis Telethon. But, again, for most of us out there that don't know as much about the nitty-gritty of it, the column was very eye-opening in terms of the very kind of deleterious trends that this thing is suffering, both in terms of how it's been bringing in money the last couple of years, the content being provided to the local stations who are having to fill more of their own. It was a great read, Simon, but because it was so truthful, kind of a depressing one.
Well, Rick, of the columns I've written, both for tomorrow for Jack's website and for other places, this was one of the toughest to write, and it was one that I thought about for a couple of years because I've watched this telethon over the years from the start when it was just one station, and I really admire both Jerry Lewis and the Muscular Association because they have done so much to educate the American public about neuromuscular disease. There are more than many Americans who have it, millions more around the world, and back in the 1950s, when Jerry started this crusade, for whatever reason he did, the story of muscularity was this. If you were a child and you had it, you were dead before the age of 10. No questions asked. And if you made it to an adult, you were the lucky person. You were like the prodigal one. Now, thanks to what MDA and Jerry have done, along with a lot of dedicated people, and a lot of people contributing over the years, to the tune of $2.5 billion in viewer and corporate contributions over the last 40 years or so, we now know the genes that cause neuromuscular disease in most cases, and treatments are starting to happen. And we're not too far from the day when, hopefully, God willing, Jerry will see the cure and treatment for neuromuscular diseases, 40 of them plus, in his lifetime. The problem, though, is over the last decade, the talent of this show has gone down to fifth rate. It's really awful, and it is a shame. And the people producing the show, and this is where the responsibility goes. It's not Jerry. It's not MDA. It is the people producing this show. With a year to put these things together, not to have the talent lineup be what it is, and on top of that, to cut the show off earlier and earlier and earlier and earlier without making the goal, when it looks like they could make the goal, is a travesty. It's an affront, I think, to MDA. It's an affront to Jerry's kids, to the people afflicted by neuromuscular disease, and it's an affront to the viewer, because when you watch this telethon, you want to see the stars, you want to see the very best people, and you're not seeing that. And I thought what really was the last straw, Rick and Lloyd, was the fact that at 5:30, the show cut off. Jerry was singing You Never Walk Alone, went off the stage. The show was around $58 million at the time. Last year was $60 million, and they could have made it. If they stayed on the air for another 5 or 10 minutes, they would have made that total.
Say, Simon, I have to ask this about the Jerry Lewis Telethon, because I think a lot of us are curious about the economics. Do the stations just donate their time to Jerry, or do they have to buy it at a barter rate?
They donate the time.
Pardon?
It's always been that way. They donate the time.
Donate the time. Musicians work. They work at scale. I was just curious about the economics of this.
Yeah. Everybody, from what I understand, volunteers their time to do this. And that is why the telethon may be, it's the last telethon of its kind. At one point in the 1990s, you had the Weekend with the Stars for United Cerebral Palsy. In January,
sure,
you had the Easter Seals telethon, the Children's Miracle Network, and the great work they do. And now it's like last telethon standing. It really is the last telethon standing.
Yeah, the Cerebral Palsy was very big here in the New York and Philadelphia areas. I don't know what happened to it.
No longer 20-hour telethon. And I know, and Channel 9, WWR TV, which is now the Jerry Lewis Telethon affiliate, used to carry that for years.
Sure.
First with the late Dennis James, Dane Pickens, Morty Gunn, et cetera, et cetera.
Well,
and then it was John and Nancy Ritter, who at the time were married. The other thing that people should know about the Jerry Lewis Telethon, too, is that when you saw the talent level of who they had on as stars, and then 5 days later you watched Stand Up to Cancer, the hour show that was carried on a mix of broadcast and cable networks, there was no comparison. On top of that, this show has lost the Telethon, MDA Telethon, has lost stations the last 2 years. It wasn't so long ago, gentlemen, the 200 stations around the country carried this telethon.
Right.
And the telethon reached about 120 million people. Now it is down to 170, and maybe less than 40 million saw this. You don't lose 30 stations if you're doing great. You lose 30 stations, and it isn't all because of the economy,
right,
and in part because of the pressure to keep the time that you would donate. I think the talent rate has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
I think the talent and this whole issue of not making the goal, the last 2 years in a row, and like three of the last six, I think has a lot to do with
right.
it. And if they keep going down this path, there may not be an NBA telethon.
Well,
Simon, a quick question on the CW. We didn't talk about them briefly.
Yeah.
Any surprises? Are they all in trouble? I really haven't heard a buzz about Hellcats or any of the shows I thought would really take off.
Yeah, Hellcats, I think, is in trouble. Life Unexpected, I love that show. It also is in jeopardy. Nikita may be the one of the two new shows that may still make it. I still think Maggie Q is the breakout star, the breakout female star of the year. I'm pulling for her. I think she is terrific. I think the producers got it. That's what we talked about at the upfront, where they would follow the format of the USA show, La Femme Nikita, which was so wonderful and I think very underrated. And I think it looks like they're going to. But I think the next 2 months are going to tell the tale about this. But I think Nikita's got a shot.
Right. Well, we're running a little bit behind here. We're going to have to take our top of the hour break and wrap. Simon, I'm glad you mentioned, among other things, all the things you mentioned there, what the life expectancy has been changed, you know, through the telethon and everything that they've done. Because, you know, for all of us who've been waiting for the promised cure over the years, we're kind of sitting here going, well, geez, when are they going to set up the Bunsen burners already? But, you know, when you talk about the life expectancy, you know, clearly, you know, it's made a difference already.
It has, Rick, and I really, really hope, and it's my real sincere hope, again, the issue is not Jerry. The issue is not MDA. I just hope the producers of this show get their act together quickly.
Right.
And if they can't do it, get people who will make the case to get the superstars, to get the Beyoncés, to get the top music stars, to get the top comedians, etc., behind this.
You
there
know,
is
sorry, just
no excuse why they can't do it.
Yep.
A final thought. I just wonder, maybe they've been in Las Vegas so long, they get too used to using lounge talent and, you know, got lazy trying to book big guests.
Well, if they want to go for lounge talent, let it be FDH lounge talent. So, you know, I think that's the best way to
there
let
you
this
go.
But, guys, it's a pleasure. We have all the links up here on the site here so that the folks can check out your stuff. Simon, of course, from Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Dwight Carroll from Queens Chronicle and Good Times Magazine. We got to do this again real soon, guys. It's always a pleasure.